Welcome to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Today, Brian Newman takes a look at what the basic character of God is and the characteristics of God's people. How should we be living? What is so different about us compared to others in the world? Find out today as Brian continues looking at the Word of God as the foundation of the Christian faith.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back once again as we continue our study into the Word of God as the foundation of Christian faith. For me, it has been a tremendous privilege and really exciting to be able to reveal the truths of the Word of God, to establish once again, as the Reformers and the Protestant churches established in their day, that truth can only be based on the sola scriptura, on the Word of God and the Word of God only. The Reformation has not stopped. The Reformation is something which needs to continue amongst God's people. We saw that in the practice of the Old Testament people, the foundation was the Word of God. When Jeremiah tested the prophet, he tested it according to the revealed scripture that had already been given. When God instructed his people regarding the truth and the light, he said that if it does not speak according to the law and the testimony, in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20, if it does not speak according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in it. We saw in Revelation chapter 12, verses 17, that the characteristics of God's people at the end of time, the ones who Satan is angry with, the dragon, who goes to make war against the woman, the church, and the remnant of her seed, that which remains, they are characterized as those who keep the commandments of God, the law, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ, as we saw very clearly, was revealed throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus himself revealed himself through the testimony of the scriptures. We saw that when we studied Luke chapter 24, where it showed us, and maybe just a very quick recap, where it says that his practice was revealing himself through scripture, and it says on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, it says that beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, we saw in the upper room, he showed them in verses 44 of the same chapter that these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It is interesting, of course, to notice that the scriptures which were used by the early Christian church for the foundation of their faith was the Old Testament scriptures. So for the Christian today to claim that all we need is the New Testament is not enough. The whole Bible is the foundation of our faith, because we can learn about Jesus, about the beauty of the prophecies concerning him and his coming, about in the Old and the New Testaments. And indeed, it was the practice not only of the Old Testament people and of Jesus himself, but it was the practice as well of the early church to always test everything to see if it came into harmony with the scriptures. In fact, if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 17, a commendation is given to the early Christian church. And this is very, very interesting. Listen to the commendation that is given to the early Christian church here. Speaking about those in Berea, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." You know, when the people in the New Testament times, the apostles, went out and preached the message, they used as their scriptures the Old Testament writings. This was still in the early church where we read about Thessalonica and Berea. The New Testament writings had not even yet been compiled. Maybe they were in the process. Paul was writing letters and so on. They still not had been compiled. The scriptures they used were the Old Testament scriptures at that time. But here we see that the people in Berea were commended that they received the word. And by the way, what is the word? We looked at it in our last study. The word is Jesus. not only Jesus revealed in the flesh as he came to this world to the people who were there at that time, the word that came, that was flesh and dwelt among us, the divine expression, the Logos, as it is spoken of in the Greek, but it is also through the Word of God, and also the Word made real through the Holy Spirit, representing Jesus living in the life of every single believer. So the Word was received with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures to see whether those things were so. So in spite of the fact that Paul was going to Thessalonica and was going to Berea, he challenged them, in fact commended them, that they even tested the words which he spoke according to the Scriptures to see if what he was saying was indeed the truth. Shouldn't that be the practice of every Christian in this day and age? To test everything that they are hearing, that they receive, that they test it according to the Word of God to see if indeed it is so? I believe that we should have the same practice as did the people in those Old Testament times. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 16, if you follow me in your Bibles there, we can look at a very important portion of Scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to what he says here. 2 Peter chapter 3, he gave a warning here about resting the Scriptures, about misinterpreting the Scriptures. You see, and Paul, in the writings of Paul, this is probably one of the hardest ones to follow, because Paul was a very intelligent man and sometimes wrote in some very difficult to understand kind of ways. And indeed, Peter writes about this with reference even to Paul. He says in verse 16, he says, as also in all his epistles, with reference to Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. So be careful to use the Scripture in an intelligent way as well. Don't just read the Scriptures and take things out of their context and so on, as we have already made reference to in our earlier studies, but study the Scriptures intelligently. He goes on to say, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How? Through the study of the Word of God, because it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. That's what he says. But you know, after having gone through all these things and looking at the law and the testimony aspect and looking at the Scripture as a reflection of God's character, we need to get to the bottom line, and that is that which motivates the Christian in his study of the Word of God and in his study of the Scriptures. That which indeed must have motivated the prophet Jeremiah. What was it that motivated him? What was the essence of the character of God? What is it? Is it just the law and studying the law and presenting the law and living the law that show? Well, you could end up in a very legalistic kind of religion if you are just living the law all the time. Remember that the law is also a testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is what? It is a revelation of his character. Jesus in the Scriptures reveals his character to us. So it's very important that the Christian has essentially in them the characteristics of Jesus Christ, because he expresses himself through the Word, the divine expression, which is expressed through his believers. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 8, we read about the essence of the character of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8, listen to what it says here. We can read from verse 7, actually. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The key element that defines the character of God is that he is a God of love. Now some, unfortunately, have made love into something which it is not. Love is not some soppy sentimentalistic feeling which lets one believe that they can just do whatever they want. In other words, you can break the law if you love. Now first of all, you don't keep the law. You've got to put the horse before the cart, because the horse pulls the cart. The cart doesn't pull the horse. If you love God, will you obey him? This is the question. Some will say, but hang on a moment, the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 22, for example, and let's go to that scripture and see what Matthew chapter 22 verses 37 teaches, where the scribes and the Pharisees come to God, to Jesus, and they challenge him regarding the greatest commandment in the law. They ask him, what is it? And then Jesus replies and says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And they say, well, that's it. This is the new teaching of the New Testament. Jesus came with a new commandment. In John 13, verses 34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But what did he mean? When he said new, did he mean a brand new commandment, or did he actually mean something that he was making reference to something that they had forgotten about, and thus for them it became a new teaching because they had forgotten about it? Listen to what he says here, and this will give you the evidence. The very next verse, after saying loving God and loving your neighbor as being the greatest commandments, he says in verses 40, this is the key, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Oh dear. Now we see what it really means. He's saying that the whole of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. Remember what it said in Isaiah 8 verse 20, to the law and the testimony, to the law and the prophets. If it speaks not according to this, it is because there is no light in it. In other words, everything that is taught, even this concept of love for God and your fellow man, is actually to be found in the teachings of the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures. You see, in fact, Jesus was not giving any new teaching here regarding love. He was quoting directly from the Old Testament. In fact, he was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Let's read Deuteronomy and see what it says. Chapter 6, a direct quote from the Old Testament. Listen to what it says there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5. Here was the instruction given to the children of Israel, and this was in exhortation that they should be obedient to God. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. In fact, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And everybody thought that the Old Testament people were experiencing a religion of legalism. No, it was not. It was a heart conversion. The love of God should be in their hearts, and as a result of the love of God being in their hearts, they would obey God and do His will. Not only that, the command to love your fellow man was given in the book of Leviticus. And we go to Leviticus chapter 19. Listen to what it says here. Very clearly, again, establishing this directly from the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 19, and it says here in verses 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So when Jesus was speaking in Matthew, he was not giving a new commandment as such. It was new to them because they had forgotten the old commandment. The scribes and the Pharisees were practicing a religion of legalism. And he was actually drawing their attention to something they knew, because after he revealed this to them and he said, upon these two commandments hang the whole of the law and the prophets, they knew he was right. They couldn't reply. If it was a new commandment, they would not have been able to confirm this from the Old Testament writings. The minute he gave that reply, they knew, yes, it is so in the Old Testament scriptures, that what this man is saying is indeed true. Upon these principles of love hang the whole of the law and the prophets. And if you want to get more specific about it, this is exactly what the Ten Commandments were all about. The Ten Commandments were about love for God and love for your fellow man. If you go to Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are revealed, they are broken down into those two distinct sections. The first half of the Ten Commandments, where it starts off by saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make graven image, you shall not bow down to them, and so on. Right down to the Sabbath commandment, where it says, 6 days shalt thou labor, remember the Sabbath day, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. All of these commandments, the first half of the Ten Commandments, were with reference to God. You will obey God and not worship other gods or bow down to them because you love God. That's the motivation for keeping the commandments of God. Is it wrong to obey God? Absolutely not. It would be ridiculous. Is it a sin to obey God? Absolutely ridiculous. Your faith is built upon love for God, and as a result of love for God, you will obey Him. And the tremendous joy you will receive out of obeying Him will be beyond anything that mere human beings can actually experience. The second half of the Ten Commandments are based on your relationship to your fellow man. You can read about it in verses 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. All of these have to do with the relationship to your fellow man. So when Jesus said, the law and the prophets is based on this, love for God first, the first and greatest commandment, and love for your fellow man, he was basically presenting to them the law of God, because it is upon the principle of love that you obey God. And that is why the Christian can safely say that to the law and to the testimony, if it doesn't speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in it. This was not an Old Testament teaching. In fact, John himself, if you go to the book of 1 John chapter 2, we go back to the New Testament again, he was teaching us exactly the same concept when he revealed to us that love is the foundation of our faith, and indeed love is the foundation of our obedience to God. If you go to 1 John, and I guess we can start here at chapter 2, we can read from verses 3. He says, and hereby do we know, and the word know here in the Greek is a word ginosko, which means to know absolutely. It is not just a knowledge of God and a profession of faith and belief. As James says, even the demons believe and they tremble. It is a total understanding of God and who He is. And hereby do we know that we know Him, that we have this understanding, if we keep His commandments. This is John speaking in New Testament times. If we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him and understand Him and so on, as the meaning is, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In the same way that Hananiah was lying in his day when he gave a false prophecy, claiming that it came from God, but did not establish it in the law and the testimony, in the testimony of the prophets that had already been given. Those today who claim that they are from God and who are not keeping His commandments are liars. And John says the truth is not in them. What is the truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means Jesus is not in their hearts. But then he says in verse 5, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That is how we know that we know Him. So, love comes first. It is the love of God that works in the heart, and as a result of the love of God, we keep the commandments of God. We live our lives in accordance with the law and the testimony. We base our faith on the foundation of Scripture, the same way that they did in the Old Testament times when they were obeying and keeping God's truth. The same way as the early church, and we proved it very clearly, based their faith on the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. In the same way, and the Reformers did as well in their days, and the Protestant churches have done all the way through, based their belief and teaching on the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. Again in our time, those who are of God will keep His commandments, will have the testimony of Jesus Christ, will base their belief in this word. But it will be because of their love for God and love for their fellow man. That's why Jesus could say in John chapter 14 verses 15, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, which are revealed throughout the word of God. The word, the Logos, becomes the power that lives within you and me. We perfect the love of the word. We reflect the love of the word. And we keep the law of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And thus, we in turn become a living testimony to the power of God dwelling within us through the Spirit. In other words, we become reflectors of the character of God. What a tremendous truth that we need to understand. A realization of this truth is probably one of the most vital things that Christians need to come to grips with in this our present time. There is deception in the world. There is conflict, there is war, and amidst all this deception and conflict, people are crying for peace and unity. But is it based on the Word of God? No, it is based on the doctrines and teachings of man. Our only safety is to come back to the Bible, and the Bible alone, and make that the foundation of our faith. My challenge to you is if you have got questions, if you are confused about this issue, go back to the Word of God. Find a people. Find someone who wants to ground their faith in God and study the Word of God. Make that your foundation. We're going to do some more studies into the Bible in our next upcoming presentations. But I thank you so much for joining me in the ones we have done so far. I look forward again to continue to share with you out of the wonderful truths that come from the Bible. So may God bless you, and we will speak again later. Bye-bye.
It's on the principle of love that we obey God. This principle is what it means to have the law written in our hearts and to be actually wanting and seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness for our lives. We pray that you may continue to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. As you know, this is our last day on the air for a while, and we thank you for being with us through the past months. We are sorry to be going off the air, but we encourage you to continue to study your Bible, ask questions, and prove what you hear from the Word of God. It has been written, "The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is given you in life and will be opened in the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. We would love you to keep in touch with us. Please visit us on the web at amazingdiscoveries.org or write to us at Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the U.S., please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. To order a cassette or any of the messages you have been hearing, please call Amazing Discoveries toll-free at 1-866-572-9457. Each topic on cassette is just $7 Canadian. You can listen to previous radio broadcasts or watch a number of different video clips on Bible subjects on our website, so please take advantage of the information available at amazingdiscoveries.org. God bless each one of you. Goodbye.
just about the break of day, just about the break of day, just about the break of day. Why not serve him?